something that you mentioned there is the two paths, which are, you know, sort of the guru personality driven, you being the hero, the person that brings them something that they're not, the message that they don't know, or you know, rally against a common enemy. That's a good path. The second path I think is really interesting, which was, you said become friends or simply build relationships with the top guys and gals and offer them something that's either complimentary or something that's next in line for what they're doing. And that, you know, that falls in line again with you know, the shortcuts and creating. And I like this a lot. I always talk about piggybacking. I talk about, mm-hmm. you know, other people talk about host-beneficiary relationships and joint ventures and so forth. But, you know, to me, this makes a lot of sense. And it's one of those things where I like to think about who's got my customer beforehand. And, you know, is there a way to, you know, to do something that makes sense that would be a benefit for both parties? And it's one of those that are pretty... It's a pretty good way of getting started and at least getting out there if you can build that relationship. Any keys on making those joint venture relationships or creating those high level deals to make that happen?
Well, first of all, I think you're a master at this. So, you know, and so you know, I feel like you could run a whole course on this because this is kind of one of your unique abilities. Well, I'll tell you one thing. When I entered dentistry, one of the things I did is I sent, I think, 12 different high-level players, I want to say a $100 bill with a lift letter and a sales letter. And one took me up on it, and I think we had like 120 sales in the next month, you know, and we became great, great strategic relationship, good friends.
And 120 sales equals how much?
Well, I mean, at the time, it was like $1,000 to $1,500.
So you sent out $1,000 in $100 bills, and you got back 150.
Yeah, we got like 150 orders plus instant in a market like that where there's only you know, so many thousand people, like, you know, that's instant awareness of who the hell is this guy. I mean, that
right.
was it.
Right.
There's probably some things I would have done differently, but. You know, I probably would have had my customer service was not already. But you know, hey, that's part of the deal.
Yeah, exactly. You learn and you grow and you get better. So, but most people might not. And you know, it's funny. So, you know, listening to you talk about that, you're like, well, we would have done this differently and so forth. But you know, the biggest thing is getting out there and doing it, even if it's 85% correct.
Yeah, and I was a little more, you know, I was only 27 at the time, so I mean, I'm in this profession where the average guy who graduates from dental school, I think, like 30-something years old, so,
right.
And they don't even know that they need help until they're like 40, and then they're, you know, our best customers are in their 50s, you know.
That's interesting.
That is, you know, so I had to come out with a guns a blazing attitude, and I did a good job with it. I think when you come too hardcore at everybody else is like sucks and I'm the hero, the problem is you can alienate the maybe the other strategy, which is, you know, I had a guy who's well known and I'll just keep his name between but he's, everybody on the call would know him. You know him very well. And he was looking to offer a product to the dental profession, and you know, it was related. It wasn't direct competitive. But what he did that I thought was top shelf is he sent me a letter, he called me, and then to set up a phone call, and then he sent me a text, which was something to this effect, which is like, hey, bro, I want to let you know, actually, it might have been after we even spoke, that my intention is to sell this product in a very respectful way that benefits both of us, and if I can't see that happening, I'll drop the whole thing. So any insight and support on making that work for me, or for the both of us, so we both make more money, would I'd appreciate it. And you know, and then he did some favors in return. He led with value, and then he was very respectful about honoring my space in it, which he didn't have to do. I mean, there's no rules saying where there's guys, and let me just tell the opposite of that. you know, the opposite of is that you can go into a market and JV with everybody and then not share any of your customers or leads or reciprocate at all. And you can do that, and you might as well milk that cow while it's still alive, because once you shot it, you're on an island all by yourself, you know. So,
yeah,
I don't know. I've seen both ends of it.
Well, you know, I think that might come from short-term versus long-term thinking.
Yeah, totally.
And you know, realizing, okay, I can make a quick profit hit here without really looking into the future of, you know, do I want to be in this for 5 years, 10 years, 15 years? You know, are these relationships going to be worth more to me in the long run than just, you know, trying to milk them in the short term?
Yeah, and here's one other thing, too. This is really important, too, Yannick, now you just brought this up, which is, you know, I mean, there's some businesses that you can have the philosophy of growing deep roots, means the tree grows bigger or whatever the hell it is. It's like some power, but it's like, you know, the deeper the roots, the taller the tree. And then there's just some markets, and what you're selling is a very transactional type market.
Absolutely.
Because the psychology of that buyer is just short-term thought. So, I'm testing a lot of these different markets, and I'm experiencing as an owner. And you know, I know your philosophy is, you know, make money, have fun, give back. And when you talk about the have fun thing, is I'm looking at my passion level, and I'm kind of like seeing it on a scale of 0 to 10. In the beginning, going into markets that have those short-term customer life cycles, but they're potentially extremely profitable, it was like, you know, 9 or 10, because I was going to a really competitive marketplace, and I'm seeing it just dwindle down because it's just transactional focus. It kind of sucks, you know, where. You know, I mean, I'm from a big family, 13 kids in the family, and that's, you know, whatever. I like to create value, and to see more customers coming back is even greater, you know.
Well, so that's interesting. So, you know, you've been playing around with a lot of different marketplaces and talking about this scale of, you know, 0 to 10, or about how excited and passionate you are, which of course makes it more fun to be in business. How important, I mean, everyone's heard, you know, find your passion, the profits will follow, or, you know, something to that effect. What's your take on that?
Yeah, I mean, good, you know, I was watching a video of a guy who was sharing, hey, you can go get these best-selling products, do this market research and sell the product and as an affiliate, make money and sell more crap.
Right.
And I really thought this. I go, you know, that's actually not a bad motto to live your life, is identify what people love. Like, go to Consumer Reports, take all the best products that people freaking love, and be an avenue and a gateway to those things. You know, for me, you know, let's just say we identify, well, first of all, at the end of the day, if you're passionate about something that people just simply don't want to buy, then you need a wake-up call, and you need to go find something different to sell. Okay.
Yeah, channel that passion in some different twist around that.
I mean, get passionate about the market. I mean, you know, like, I'm passionate about I love learning new things, and I'm learning some cool stuff right now that has me up early and keeps me up late after I put the kids to bed. I'll flip open my computer and I'll study one of the guys I'm modeling, and then first thing the next morning I'll go do a few things that he does. So it's really interesting you say that, because you mentioned something really important earlier in the call, which is it's about the process, not about the profits early on.
Right.
And so what I would say is that if you can get passionate about building a profitable process, you can then apply that to anything you do. Okay? If you can get passionate about building a profitable process, then you can apply it wherever you want to go.
Yeah, so if you can get, so for example, would that be like, if you can get passionate about, or are you saying get passionate about the marketing, or that you can then apply that?
Absolutely.
So like, okay, I get really excited about building a landing page that converts like crazy and goes into a funnel that I need.
Yeah, and this is one of the things, like, I've taught, and I know you have too, I've taught a ton of guys, I've told them, like, hey, here's my whole flipping process for this new thing I'm doing. And then they do a little work, and they just never do anything with it. But I'll tell you, let me go back to, like, my story of when I was struggling. I heard Jeff Paul say on one of his copywriting audio tapes, which you might have been in the crowd at the time, but I just got on tape. He had said the first frickin' sentence out of his mouth was, your income is directly related to your ability to write copy. And so that day, folks, I got passionate about writing copy. And I can tell you that my income went up at the ability of my, you know, it took me a while. I woke up every morning around 6 or 7 a.m., went to the coffee shop, and this is when I was single. And I would, because they said, you know, hey, the only way to, you know, the fastest way to get it into your body, writing copy, is to handwrite it out. Now, I don't know if I totally agree with that now, but back then, that's what I did. I'd handwrite John Carlton, Gary Halbert, Dan Kennedy's sales letters, and I never bought the Ultimate Sales Letter. What was your website? The
Instant Sales Letters.
Yeah, I just should have bought that, but this was before then.
Well, that's a little bit. I don't think it would give you world-class copywriting skills like that. But let me just button
up this point. So that's what I did then, and so today, now, I still have that same philosophy about something. And so there's certain things that I'm learning right now that I'm passionate about, that I wake up and I go to bed, that also follows the Napoleon Hill's principle of specialized knowledge, that if you master that thing, you will be in a class, you know, that nobody else is. And so if you can start stacking those puzzle pieces side by side and build that process and learn that whole thing, oh my God, you know, in a matter of a couple of years or even much sooner for some people who are on this, you know, I mean, just some couple small tweaks, find a model, just do what they say verbatim and get crazy insane about it, you know.
Yeah, no, that's great. And, you know, you can tell the, you know, it's almost been a recurring theme. It's just going the extra mile in a way. It's about, you know, getting up early, staying up late, and many times to learn those skills that we know are going to be multiplier skills. Like copywriting is a massive multiplier skill.
Massive.
It lets us, you know, write something now on our computers and put it out on the web and have literally thousands, tens of thousands, and millions of people see that, and we can leverage that. And that's, you know, the ability to leverage is massive right now, and that's one of those skills that's a core skill for sure. All right, do you want to move into, let's talk about maybe entrepreneurial lifestyle and having a little bit more fun here. So you got four kids, family of 13
four kids,
came
one
from.
Yeah, big family, four kids. I built a, I have an office above my second garage. We have two garages. And you know, I'm sitting in it right now. Love it. Kids come up here and watch TV while I work sometimes. We're
what's
four houses.
Ages? Age range?
Oh, ages. Yeah, this is great. 6'4", almost 3. And then we are expecting the next one in about however many months. We're just wrapping up the first trimester. So,
congratulations.
Yeah. Thanks, man. Thanks.
Populating the world with more O'Keefe's.
Yeah, you know, raising confident kids who want to take on the world. That's the kind of you know, the... all right, so lifestyle is a couple things. One is this, and I want to share this because a lot of guys, and this kind of goes still in the making money part, but we could shift into...
No, you know what? I think they're all totally interrelated.
They're totally related, right? I posted on my Facebook account the other day, I said, there is something about being this talk about, oh, everyone wants to be so balanced. The reality is that if you want to be phenomenal at anything at any given time, there are phases in which you have to be extraordinarily unbalanced. Okay?
Ooh.
Now, what I'm saying is that I don't sacrifice my family life for that. But what I'm saying is that me kind of physically and kind of like where I go, if I'm studying till 1 a.m. or midnight because I'm trying to crack the code on something, I have moved over to where work spikes, right?
Mm-hmm.
But it gets you to a certain level because you figured the thing out, and then you flow right back into the you know, the natural, you know, life of whatever. Now, here's a couple thoughts I have. One is, there is no perfect formula for living like a balanced entrepreneurial life. Only you can figure that out for yourself. And my personal belief is that I have to make money. If I'm not making money, then family life sucks, and or could suffer dramatically. Let me put it that way.
Yeah.
And well, I have to.
That becomes the, you know, the overriding nagging problem that surrounds everything then.
Yeah, you know, and a lot of guys talk about, well, you need to spend time with your family. I spend a shitload of time with my family. I mean, walk them to school, I take them whatever, and we go play games, and then when it's time to turn off the cell phone, you turn off the cell phone. When you want to go extended times, you go do that. I don't know if I'm articulating everything as well as I'd like to, but I would say, you know, A, you got to focus on what's going to generate the cash flow so that you can relax and build the entrepreneurial lifestyle, okay? B, you got to sit and go, hey, what are the three or four things that are most important to me in my life? And you go, well, it's my family, my physical health, my relationships, my whatever they might be for you, they can be for you. And then you really want to take a magic wand and just imagine what your life would be like. You're making the money you want, you have the people around you that you want, and you're dealing with the people that you want to deal with. And I'll tell everybody on this, one little thing you can do to improve your entrepreneurial lifestyle instantly. I wrote this little book called Prosperity Was Never Meant to Be a Struggle. It's like 20 pages long because it covers two simple principles. One is this, is that stop doing things that you're doing out of obligation to others, and stop doing things that you feel you're doing because other people want you to do it. Mm. And if you take those two things and stop seeking the approval of others, and you take those two simple things and filter your whole life right now, and anything that falls in those filters, either immediately eliminate it or have a plan to get them out of your life, and your excitement of life will just bump up like three levels.
Say those two one more time, Ed.
Well, you stop doing things out of obligation.
Yep.
Just eliminate it. Anything you're doing out of obligation or guilt is only going to bring you down a path of more frustration and negative anchors. And the second one is, I wrote this, I haven't even looked back on it, it's something like, stop seeking the approval or confirmation or acceptance,
yeah.
Yes, that's of others.
Yeah. And that's a huge one, and you know, I'll jump off of that for 1 second because
yeah, please
that
do.
Was like one of the biggest decisions of my life that sent me down a serious, much more serious entrepreneurial path, and it was a very hard decision. It says I grew up working in my dad's business, medical equipment, and you know, literally started when I was 14 years old and left that business when I was 25, I think, or 26. And, you know, the easy decision would have been, and the decision that I know he would want me to, at the time anyway, to do would be stay in that business, grow that business, and take it over. And, you know, to do that, of course, would have, you know, would have got his approval and would have lived the life that essentially he wanted. But and that was one of the hardest things to do, is to decide, hey, I'm going to go off on my own and build up my own thing.
And, that's huge. Yeah.
And very, very happy I did it, but it was an incredibly difficult decision, or seemed like it at the time.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And,
yeah.
And you know, the other thing is, too, is like as you now, like now being married and having four kids, the obligations, like quote-unquote, or things that you're looking for acceptance, they evolve into different things from different people and from other, you know, like so. You know, I'm obligated right now. I have to make X amount of dollar on a monthly basis to support my kids, right? That's
right.
Just like a necessity. It's the whole Maslow's thing. And so those are things that, you know, that's why it goes back to my whole thing about having more fun and living an entrepreneurial lifestyle. You have to ask yourself, what is bringing me cash and what is the quickest path to the cash? From that, you can move into building out maybe midterm to long-term strategies. But I swear to God, man, I see guys all the time, Yannick, and you see it all the time. You go to a seminar, you talk to guys in the hallways. Hey, what are you working on, man? Oh, dude, you wouldn't believe what I'm working on. I got this cool thing. When's it coming out? Probably about 60 days. What are you doing now? I'm just waiting for this thing to be done. Well, what the? I mean, seriously, bro. You have to be making some cash rain today and building new skill sets all the time. Otherwise, you're going to be left there. You know, the whole Harvey McKay, and I think it's a Taoist principle or something like that, like, you know, dig your well before you're thirsty thing. Your well is going to run dry, and your thought process and creativity is going to be stumped, you know. I know a couple guys who just did the whole, like, you know, like burn the ships, and then they started on a journey. Well, I understand that too, but at the same time, when you have, if you got a job and you're making enough money to cover your nut, and then work overtime on the weekends, at night, building your internet business or taking it to the next level. For me, you know, I have the dental business, and I have a couple other things I'm working on. I have to maintain the dental income and make sure that company's running well while I'm building out new things. If you stop one and then focus on the other, you're like, you know, the typical ADD internet marketer who never makes any money, who overspends, and is wondering why he's all alone sitting at the bar, you know, with the bartender. Actually, by the way, that's not always a bad place to be, but you just, you know, you got to be there by choice, you know.
Exactly. All right, let's talk about what do you do to rejuvenate, re-energize yourself as an entrepreneur?
Yeah, I mean, rejuvenation, probably the number one and two is, work out and get physical four to five times a week if I can.
And you do
right
the
now.
MMA stuff, right? Is that part of your workout, the four times a week?
Yeah, now I'm doing a little more Jeet Kune Do and the Filipino stuff. But, yeah, it's just martial arts. Yeah, I love all that stuff. That excites me. I love talking about it. I love learning it.
So the four times a week, that's set in your schedule. That's, you know, it's pretty much set in stone. And is it a fixed
pretty
time?
Solid, yeah. There's an old – Brian Tracy has a phrase that says, hard time will push off soft time. So meaning – you know, like this appointment you and I had today was hard time. I made it, you know.
Right.
If you and I were like, hey, dude, let's just catch up on the phone, it'd be 4 weeks from now when we finally caught up, you know. It's the same thing with when you go back to your value system questions, and this would be worth listening to again just because of the questions, you know, of answering some of those questions of, like, what's most important to you, and then scheduling that and making it, you know, like my thing is I usually take an hour and a half in the middle of the day at certain points where I go pick up the kids or go spend a little time with them. And so I'll work, you know, till 6, you know, because I take like 2:30 to 3:30 where I go pick up kids and hang out with them a little bit. But at 6 o'clock, I'm immediately hitting my hard time with my family, and so that needs to drop. But, you know, that's how I rejuvenate. With the kids, man, I'll tell you something. With four kids traveling on vacation, because I know some people be like, wow, this sounds – is not necessarily relaxing. But in the summer, we do have a lake house, and the kids are getting a little bit older, so all that kind of stuff is getting easier. And, you know, just reading and learning is just relaxing to me, too.